from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you make.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing. Woo!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wheeling, dealing, limousine wreck, jet flying, son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Second hour of the radio program. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. Good morning. Happy Thursday to everybody out there. Happy birthday to my wife.
Hey, happy birthday, Mrs. Sprague.
I know.
Look at that.
Happy birthday.
Got myself a cougar.
Where are you guys going this weekend? You going out of town for a birthday?
We're going to get tatted today.
Okay, little tattoos.
Yeah, I got to be in Salem by 10:30.
Oh, that's turn and burn.
Oh, yeah. And I got to drive back to Damascus.
They're closing down I-5 South. When's that happening?
Friday.
Okay, Friday.
It is between Terwilliger and Highway 99 there after Capitol Highway.
Gotcha. All right.
And then tomorrow we're heading over to a wolf sanctuary in the middle of...
What? Come again?
There's a wolf sanctuary.
Where you just go look at wolves?
Yeah, you go about learn about animal conservation and they show you on a guided tour. It's kind of like Jurassic Park. It's like you hope the animals are seen.
Yeah.
And taking our kids to that and then going to Newport for a night because Newport might be the best coastal town there is in Oregon.
Yeah, get that hot debate going again.
And then we'll come back on Saturday.
I saw a video recently. There was one of those like wilderness retreats, and they were looking at some lions, and the lions were getting it on right in between the trucks.
Nice.
And I thought about pulling the audio because the sound of the male lion at finish, just phenomenal.
Just a big roar.
Yeah.
Or is like an
basically, yeah. Sounded very human. And then the lady lion, the lioness, kind of turned around and growled at him a little bit and was like, that was it. And he was like, yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Did it move when Joe found out Donovan Klingon felt 70?
Yes, it did. It did for that.
Oh, my God.
When Ron Holland went, where did he go? Five. Detroit. That was the one where you knew, like, all right, there's a chance that this could happen here.
Yeah, and then Charlotte was somehow trading with Memphis. Memphis really wanted some Donovan Klingon in their life.
They wanted a big, and they ended up with Zach Edey.
Hey, I'm all about it. I'm rooting for Zach Edey, man. I'm a big Edey guy. And Charlotte ended up going Tijon Salon at number 6. So they're taking a flyer on a very raw prospect. That's the other part of all this. People not happy about the trade. I think most people are cool with the trade.
Yeah.
I think
you're debating semantics of how much you gave up, the value of picks, the value in 2029 first. That's what you're debating. Nobody can disagree with wanting a 6'9" wing that could play defense and last year could shoot the ball.
But if they would have taken Tijon Salon, I said yesterday, we'd probably come in and say, we get it, take a swing.
Yeah, take a flyer.
Boy, is he a raw prospect.
Sure.
Very raw prospect. So Charlotte goes that direction. Portland gets Donovan Klingon. We'll get the audio in a second here from old Joe Cronin last night But just your thoughts of knowing that, like, hey, we're going to get Donovan Klingon, the big man that everybody mocked us with. He did fall to us.
He did.
How you feel about that?
It's funny how when this whole mock stuff started and we began looking into the draft and where guys were going to go, there were a lot of folks who just kind of rolled their eyes at mock drafts. And we said something the first time the mock drafts came out. A lot of them you can just disregard. Throw them out. They do not matter. There was one guy that matters, and it is because he has a relationship with somebody in the front office for Portland, and that is Jonathan Givony.
Woj is pretty tied into when Woj says something, somebody
is telling them that, right? And so we kept seeing these Givony mock drafts in the last week and a half of them taking Klingon at 7, and yet every time the description was, I don't know if he's going to make it there. He might not make it there. He probably won't be there at 7. But clearly they were having conversations with people in Portland who thought, you know, there's a chance. Because according to Cronin, they were calling around seeing, hey, where are you guys going to go? Is anybody liking Klingon? Should we move up? Should we stand pat? And basically the intel that they got, I think it made them believe that Klingon was going to fall to them. And their plan ended up being executed. And I have zero issue with the pick whatsoever. I said yesterday, you get Connect, you get Klingon, you take a flyer on a guy. There's not many picks that I'm going to come in here and criticize today outside of one. And thankfully he went number 9. Sanity prevailed.
Yeah.
And so you got a center who I think can be a part of your long-term future. I'm not the biggest DeAndre Ayton guy. Never have been. I think he's kind of hollow numbers on a bad team. And I hope you try and deal him at the trade deadline. Not to mention his bloated contract. So finding a young center that I think better fits with Scoot and Shaden and probably has a better attitude and a better work ethic, I'm all for it, and I thought the pick was great.
Does the injury history concern you?
I mean, it always does with centers, right? Somebody tweeted immediately after the pick I saw was Donovan Klingon announced out for the 24-25 season with a stress fracture. It's like, oh, God, here we go again.
Well, let's not do that.
I know. Let's not go there.
To the big man.
Let's not go there.
We had Mike Richmond, the homie, on yesterday, and I think it was you. You asked him about the fit. DeAndre Ayton is still the center here if they took Donovan Klingon. Here was Mike Richmond of Locked On Blazers.
I don't think it means much for DeAndre Ayton's immediate term. Like, I don't think they need to trade him in July if they draft a center because it's maybe irresponsible to go into an NBA season with, like, Donovan Klingon, Duop Reeve, and Rob Williams as your center core. But I will say if you expend a high draft pick on a center in this draft, particularly Klingon or Edie, I'm particularly Klingon because I don't know that Edie projects as like a 35-minute a night guy in the league, but maybe I'm wrong and Sprague's right. I think it just means that the long-term, medium-term future of DeAndre Ayton is probably not with the Blazers. He has this year and one other year under contract and the following year under contract. If they were to take a center at 7, I think it would signal that his days are numbered, although I do believe he would play out the remainder of this season and they'd figure it out after that.
On the Instagram post of Klingon going to Portland, the bottom comment caught a lot of people's attention. Old DeAndre Ayton putting up the praise God emojis saying, yes, sir! So
okay.
A lot of people were like, we already have a center, man. How's it going to make him feel?
Yeah.
He posted to social media that he was pretty happy about it. Here is Danny Hurley on Donovan Klingon going to Portland. This was him on ESPN Radio.
Well, I mean, he was from Bristol, and if we didn't get him, my whole staff was getting fired. Right? They were all out, and he's an incredible young man. Obviously, he anchored, you know, the best offense in the country, and he anchored the best defense in the country. And it's just so cool to see him going to Portland. I know Portland loves him, and you know, I know there was another really big, great center that played there in Bill Walton, so it's exciting.
Shout out our Bill Walton center that he pulled from the 70s there.
We had one time. We had a good center in the past.
Don't short Sabas.
That's true.
It's Sabas.
Very true.
I just, they had to have been ecstatic internally. It's why I said yesterday, like, you got a 6'9 wing who you, like, the Dalton Connect thing, right? Like, everybody knows that's listened to this show. I like Dalton Connect.
Yeah.
I do. But, like, it's interesting that we way overpaid for the wing, and I like Dalton Connect. I've never seen Dalton Connect play in the NBA.
Nope.
And for all the, like, well, Denny Avdija is 1 year sample, so I don't know, man. How many years did Dalton Connect play at Tennessee?
One.
Uno.
And where did he play before Tennessee?
Northern Colorado.
Where they have juggling as a sport.
They're in the Big Sky. They play Portland State in their conference.
There you go. They have juggling as a sport.
Juggling is one of their sports.
Not a lot to that. Not a lot of outside time in Greeley,
Colorado.
Where did that
random fact come from?
I think some, or maybe it was his JUCO, but somebody put up a school he played at. It was like juggling. Sports they have, and juggling was one of them.
You're telling me there was a chance I could have gone pro.
And if you look at Avdija, one, he increased his scoring output every year he's been in the league.
Uh-huh.
And when he stepped into full-time starting role, his assist to turnover ratio has been consistent, just under 2-1. So he's a playmaker.
He's in the 80th percentile in rim finishing.
Mm-hmm. He's a decent free throw shooter, about 74%. Yep. So he's not going to kill you there. I would think if you want him to make more plays, he will get to the line more often. He could probably get that closer to 80%. He's everything that Dalton Knecht is with 4 years of NBA experience.
That's kind of what my point was. Like, as much as I like Dalton Knecht, and I think Knecht actually landed in a great spot. If you're going to fall to LeBron and AD, yes,
perfect
please.
Spot.
And his coach. His coach was basically Dalton Knecht. I don't know if Dalton Knecht will ever have these averages. And that's why you pay a little bit of in some people's minds, a little bit of a premium for it. You are getting the wing that you saw do it in the league versus standing pat, using the 14th pick in a bad draft, and taking the guy that you haven't seen do it in the league. And I think that's kind of why I like this. That's why yesterday I said I thought they got the wing, they got a wing that they like, and they got the player that they liked the most on their board. Yesterday, for the Crone Zone, was a good draft day. You don't have to like it. You can think it's all going to blow up in their face and not succeed. That's okay. But for them internally, I promise you, they were celebrating. Yesterday was a great day in their eyes.
Absolutely. I would say on the Klingon front, the main questions that I have about him are, you mentioned the injury stuff. Like, just whenever you get a 7-footer, staying healthy, obviously a priority. And I'm just really curious to see how they go about the minutes and how much volume he's playing. You know, that was the thing about him at UConn. Year one, he didn't start. He was the backup, and he only played like 13 minutes a game. He was not in there a ton. And he was a good reserve. They won a national championship. He steps into the starting role in year two, and even as a starter, I mean, he was only playing barely 20 minutes a night.
I think it was just over 20.
Over 20 a night. And so some of those games are foul trouble. Some of that game is just, you know, we're blowing people out, so we only need him 20 minutes a night. Right? So there's different reasonings for that. Of just the high volume nature, the conditioning aspect, and what kind of workload can you eventually put on him? I think you're in a good spot with Ayton in the short term to say, we don't need you to start right away. You're going to come in as our backup big. I don't see him and Ayton fitting as, you know, I saw a lot of the Carl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert stuff last night.
That's different.
That's completely different. Gobert is a defensive big who can protect the rim. Carl Anthony Towns is more of an offensive guy who can space the floor. That's why they can yin and yang. DeAndre Ayton and Donovan Klingon are not that. They are, you know, neither of them are standing out of the three-point line knocking down shots like Carl Anthony Towns is. So that fit on the floor at the same time is going to be unique, and I think that's where you can give him a little bit of a runway to see where he goes and how long it takes him to get to that point where he's able to play 30, 35 minutes a night, because that's just something that he has not been asked to do yet at a high level of basketball.
Tyler Metcalf of the No Ceilings podcast, they do a great job covering the NBA draft. He's going to join us at 7:30 today, so we'll get his thoughts on what the Blazers did at number 7, the trade that they made, how the draft kind of all shook out. He'll join us. Coming up next, I'll read a few thoughts from some listeners, and then Joe Cronin's own words on Donovan Klingon, who the Blazers took at number 7. Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Tyler Metcalf of No Ceilings NBA podcast coming up for the ticker. Ken Barkley at 8 a.m. at the top. Does he like the clinger for Rookie of the Year?
We've got to celebrate his Florida Panther win, too.
You got to give the Ice Cats their due. And then at 8:30, Denny Avdija was traded to the Blazers yesterday. Nobody watched him play. Chase Hughes did. He'll join us at 8:30.
That he did.
Still a loaded show to go, and we've had a lot of discussion already. Reminded you guys yesterday, the 1080 The Fan merch locker at 1080thefan.com is up. T-shirts are available. Want to highlight again, the T-shirt to really push for me right now is the Mike Lynch-approved ALS T-shirt up there. It says Swinge, S-W-I-N-J.
Take a swinge.
He was supposed to spell swing on the air years ago. He spelled it S-W-I-N-J for some reason. Everybody has those moments. But it's more of a laughing, good-natured shirt. And all of the proceeds and profits going to Mike's GoFundMe account. 1080thefan.com. And also wanted to give a shout out and thanks to 10 Barrel for hosting us yesterday for the NBA draft. Great folks over there at 10 Barrel. And thank you guys for coming out, hanging out, catching the draft, and enjoying the beverages that 10 Barrel serves us. Vancouver 4 text line is 503-864-6326. They teach you right before, during, and after the sale. We got two tweets to us.
What do we got?
First one's from Dick Burns, because of course it does. Best part of last night.
Are you serious?
I think we now see the plan. This is kind of into Swag's point. I think we see now the plan and direction. We're going to build around this team, 21-year-old Shaden, 20-year-old Scoot, 20-year-old Donovan Klingon, 23-year-old Denny Avdija.
Let the kids play.
And, to their point, most important, 2025 pick is looming.
Yeah.
Andrew says, the most exciting prospect for me, both Avdija and Klingon appear to be good passers. With their size and touch, they should find Shaden Scoot. Tamani, please hit a three this year. In very good positions for easy points. And that's the thing is, Joe Cronin talked last night about them, and he talked about what Klingon can mean to them defensively.
Donovan, to me, is an interesting defender. Of course, he's more of a drop big that's best around the rim. I mean, it's what he does best is protect the rim. But his IQ and his feel and his ability to navigate and react and, you know, play the right angles or, you know, adjust his depth depending on, you know, who you're playing against and what you're trying to take away. I think Donovan's going to be a nice, versatile defender that, you know, in general is just going to up our defense, something that we've continually tried to do and we're starting to get better at, but we still have a long ways to go there. you know, I think rim protection, it was a huge, has been a big hole of ours, and Donovan helped solve that problem.
He also, Dirt, talked about playing with Scoot Henderson.
Anytime you get a defensive anchor that can play behind, you know, your talented guards, I think that's a huge, huge part of this. But also, you know, someone that can play, you know, do a good job on the other side of the ball. He's a great screen setter. He's going to be a good role guy. He's got great hands. He's got a good feel. He can pass. He can play off the move a little bit. He's got some work to do, like a lot of young big men, but we like where he's headed skill-wise.
Got some other cuts from Cronin on Donovan Klingon, and an important one that you noted that stuck out to you, but there's Joe a little bit on the clinger.
Yeah, defensively, I think you're getting a really good player. We saw that at UConn last year. We knew how good defensively they were as a team, and that should be something that translates pretty quickly to the NBA. I think the interesting part about Klingon is where can his offensive game evolve and go, and how does that look 3-4 years down the road? I go back to a conversation we had with Ben Golliver, who we tried to have on yesterday. We'll have him on again soon. But we did a YouTube overtime with him a number of weeks back, prior to the NBA playoffs beginning. And we talked about the offseason for Portland and things that they should be looking at, yada, yada, yada. And he touched on DeAndre Ayton and Scoot Henderson just being a oil and water fit, because Scoot Henderson is a guy who is not a great volume shooter. He is an attack downhill point guard. And in order for that to be functioning at its highest level, you need to unclog the area of the paint. You need to get big bodies out of the way so Scoot Henderson can be and be the player that we want him to be and live up to his full potential. Mm-hmm. That's where I think it's interesting with Klingon of, can he be a guy that maybe you can sit out there at 15, 16, 17 feet a little more often? Can he develop that touch? That doesn't have to be a high-volume three-point shooter, but can he develop that game to where he's not just somebody roaming the middle? He frees up space offensively for everybody else, and that helps Scoot Henderson. But I am very excited about the idea of them getting to play together and them getting to run the pick and roll together, and Scoot attacking downhill and Kling and rolling and throwing down lobs from him. It's a very exciting thought for Blazer fans.
A very interesting thing came out of this presser. I think our buddy Sean Hyken noted it on Twitter as well. It was only a 13-minute press conference. It was a little late, so each media member kind of got to ask two questions and then move on.
They can't talk about the trade yet because it's not official till like July 6th, so they can't answer any questions on that.
Also, they've got two more picks in the second round, so we'll see what they do with those. But in talking about kind of what they're building around, just listen to the way Joe Cronin says this and the names that he specifically cites when talking about building around things.
We've got to continue to build this talent base, and you know, we're committed to Scoot and Shaden being a massive part of what we're doing, and how do we find ways to, you know, give them the support they need and make them better and maximize their development. So it's continually seeking players that we can add to this roster that we can grow with and build together with.
Specifically committed to Scoot and Shaden. And I don't think Joe means to say some of these things in a way that makes guys like us go, oh, you didn't name Ant. Finally not naming Anfernee Simons in this. I think Jeremy's going to get traded this summer. He's a pretty hot commodity. It seems like all the intel is saying that.
Yep.
I don't know what the timeline of trading Ant is, but Joe kind of saying it out loud of like, we're committed to this. And this is Scoot and Shade, which may or may not work, but I think most Blazer fans would agree, hey, whoa, we've picked a lane.
Thank you.
We are finally exiting into a lane.
Yes. We don't have 17 guards on the roster. Well, at least shortly we won't have 17 guards on the roster. To me, honestly, that was one of the biggest developments of the night. I know the trade was a big deal and everybody wanted to talk about it, react to it. Getting Klingon at 7, many people didn't think he would actually fall there, so big development there. I thought this, like, if you're power ranking Mount Rushmore-ing the biggest headlines of yesterday, this is number 3 on the list. And I don't know if it's just a Freudian slip of like, hey, I accidentally forgot to say his name.
See, a virgin slip?
Freud, what's the word I'm looking for?
Freudian.
Freudian, thank you. I didn't say virgin.
It sounded
but
like
I didn't
you said
say virgin.
Fr-
I definitely didn't say virgin, but I don't think I correctly pronounced it. But this was, to me, one of the biggest things of the night last night, was them finally acknowledging of like, these three guards don't work. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. We've used the number 3 pick and the number 7 pick on our new backcourt. this is our new backcourt, and it is time to build around them. Anfernee Simons has, what, 2 years left on his deal? So that is a quickly expiring thing. Move him now. Get as many assets as you can. Let's see what Scoot and Shaden can do. Build out this runway for them. If that happens this offseason, I'm thrilled as a Blazer fan.
What does Tyler Metcalf of the No Ceilings podcast think of the Blazers landing Klingon at 7? What's he make of Denny Avdija getting traded to Portland and how the whole draft shook out? Tyler Metcalf joins us for the Daily Ticker next on 1080 The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Hey, Daily Ticker time here on a Thursday, brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers, independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. The Blazers were busy yesterday making a trade and landing Donovan Klingon with the 7th overall pick. Joining us now to talk about all of that and his thoughts on how they did on NBA draft night is Tyler Metcalf of the No Ceilings podcast, No Ceilings NBA on Twitter. At TMetcalf11 is where you can find him. Tyler, good morning to you, man. Thanks for the time in Portland. You know, a lot of these mocks kept having Klingon potentially fall to 7 with, like, the disclaimer of, I don't think he'll be there, and Portland would be thrilled if he gets there. I imagine that they were thrilled. What was your take of them taking the UConn big man with the 7th overall pick?
I loved it. You kind of mentioned the mocks, and we were kind of guilty of that too, where it's like, all right, is he going to go 1? And if not 1, then could he possibly be there at 7? And it really felt like a reach because of how talented and how much upside there still is with him, where, hey, if he starts to fall, someone's surely got to trade up for him. But this really did feel like one of the best case scenarios for the with him falling 2-7 for them.
You talk about the ceiling for him. I'm kind of curious, even though you guys run with the label No Ceilings, what is, when we think of Donovan, what is it offensively? We know defensively he's good and what he was. What is it for him offensively when you watch him play?
I think there's some very legitimate, like, Mark Gasol type of outcomes with him, where there's so much more passing to his game than he really has been able to unlock. We got flashes of it. In freshman season, we got a few more flashes of it with some of the really cool and creative actions that UConn had this year. From his freshman to his sophomore year, his assist rate doubled while his turnover rate got cut in half. There's some really fascinating playmaking and versatility out of short roll, creating from the top of the key, from the elbow, that kind of stuff, where he just makes everyone around him better. And then he's also a fantastic screener. And every scout and exec that I had asked about this, they all think he's going to shoot it in some form or fashion, not necessarily at, like, a Kristaps Porzingis, like, Karl-Anthony Towns prolific rate, but enough where he can, you know, hit a trail three or pick and pop type of stuff. It's a couple of game that kind of forces the defense to respect it a little more.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's music to the ears of Blazer fans, especially opening up the paint a little bit for Scoot. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the offensive upside and the defensive prowess that we know he brings. What are the big question marks? Is it injuries? Is it, you know, the minutes he played at UConn? If you're circling, like, hey, this is a concern or that's a concern, what is it about Klingon that makes you wonder about his fit in the NBA?
Yeah, health is definitely the first big one. It's always a little concerning when 7'2", 280-pound guys have multiple foot injuries in the same season. Apparently, they were unrelated and just unfortunate kind of fluke things early in the season. And we saw that once he got healthy and really hit the ground running as the season progressed, there weren't any issues. And he lost a ton of weight, really transformed his body going back to high school, where as a freshman, he really leaned down. And then his sophomore year, he got substantially stronger. With how available all of the medicals and stuff were for teams this year, I really start to become a lot less worried about potential health issues, because if there was something really glaring or really concerning with him, it would have come out in some form, and I don't think he necessarily would have been there at would have been the 7th overall pick, let alone being in conversation for the 1st overall pick. So it's the big thing at this point is just conditioning and how many minutes can he play. I think with Portland, it's really kind of easy to ease him into that and not overstress his body, because he's probably going to be the backup center while Ayton continues to start. So that alone kind of limits the workload and allows him to ease into the NBA context and workload a little more comfortably.
Why do you think Dalton Connect fell all the way to the Lakers? There were some stunning things, I think, that happened yesterday. I audibly gasped when I saw Detroit took Ron Holland at 5. I think he was 50-1 on Vegas Sports at 5. Why did Dalton Connect fall all the way to 17 to the Lakers?
No clue. Honestly, no clue. It makes zero sense. You mentioned the Pistons at 5, and he's like, all right, this might be a little bit of a reach, but it makes sense. He fills everything that they need. And basically from 5 on is like, oh, surely this could be Connect. Surely this could be. And we just kind of kept going. And the Lakers got incredibly lucky. Yes, he's older. Yes, the defense isn't there. But this was arguably the best scorer in the entire country who regularly dropped 30-plus points a game again in SEC competition. He was everything for that Tennessee offense. If you took him off that Tennessee team, they might have had one of the worst offenses in the country. And instead, they were one of the best teams in the country for most of the year. So the defense is bad, but when he's not asked to create everything on offense, I think he has the size and the where he can at least be on that end. And then when you put him in a more of that off-ball scoring role, he can be that second side creator and playing off of guys like LeBron and AD. He's going to get a ton of really fascinating looks. So I think they struck gold at 17.
Interesting. We're talking with Tyler Metcalf, No Ceilings, the No Ceilings podcast, at No Ceilings NBA, at TMetcalf11 on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. I'm watching the first round last night, and I don't recognize half the damn names. I read them in mocks, but I'm like, I've never seen this guy play. Never heard of this guy. Who the hell is this guy? So I imagine today will be no different. You know what you're talking about. The Blazers have a pretty early pick in the second round. I think they have two of the first, you know, 10 or whatever. Any names, anybody that's still left that you're looking of, like, how did that guy fall or that guy makes sense? What are we looking at here in the second round today?
Yeah, and just kind of in the vacuum, Tyler Kolek, point guard from Marquette, was a really kind of surprising fall. His name was even getting mentioned with Miami up at 15, and a lot of intel was pointing to Phoenix at 22, so him falling out of the first entirely was kind of surprising. Kyle Filipowski from Duke, kind of toolsy, power forward center, projects to shoot it, really physical, really good rebounder. Another name kind of surprising that he fell out. And then Johnny Furphy from Kansas is a really fascinating kind of long-term play, ton of upside, 6'9 wing, had an incredible shooting month in January and February, and just kind of took over that Kansas offense once Kevin McCullough got hurt. Furphy became like the only perimeter scoring option, so defenses loaded up on him and the numbers kind of fell off. So his rebounding, the shooting upside, the physical tools, he's really, really exciting going forward. Might take some time, needs to get a lot stronger, but I think he's one of the better kind of long-term plays and home run swings in the early second round.
What did you make of the Blazers trade with the Wizards? Nobody out here watches Wizards basketball. They were god-awful. Denny Avdija had a pretty nice season for himself. They traded Malcolm, the first at 14, the first in 2029, 2 seconds. What is your observations of Denny Avdija, the player, and what he's been so far in his career? What did you think of the trade when you saw it come through?
I love the trade for a couple of reasons. First, the Blazers kind of kept getting mocked, these high upside but really raw wings at 14. And I think they're getting a guy who's just kind of ready to contribute to winning basketball right away. In Denny instead. So I don't think they necessarily would have been able to grab someone of Denny's caliber at 14 regardless. And at the start of Denny's career is kind of a frustrating development because he was used as just a spot up shooter, but he was always just a iffy shooter at best. And this last year, they put the ball in his hands a little more, allowed him to get out in transition, create for others, be a secondary, tertiary creator. And he just took a massive, massive leap. They were so much better with him on the floor than off. He became one of the better perimeter wing defenders in the league this year.
I think this is a really, really good move. And then just you look at the contract alone, he's only making $15 million this year, and he's on the books for another 4 years, and it's a descending contract. So by the time that this contract is up, he'll only be making $11 million. From the basketball side, from the cap side, I thought it was a really, really smart move by the Blazers.
So not an overpay.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, great stuff. Tyler Metcalf, go give him a follow on Twitter, at TMetcalf11, the No Ceilings podcast, at No Ceilings NBA. Thanks so much for the time. I know you guys are busier than hell with the first round, second round, so we really appreciate the breakdown here in Portland, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. There you go. Good stuff. Tyler Metcalf, no overpay for him, loves the move, and thinks Portland's doing jumping jacks because Donovan Klingon fell all the way to number 7. Big fan of the pick.
We got Marc Gasol.
We got baby. We're teaming baby Kobe and Marc Gasol now.
I mean, come on.
What's Scoot? We need a comp for Scoot though. What's our Scoot comp?
Black Stockton.
I love it.
Come on, pick and pop, baby.
Black Stockton, Marc Gasol, baby Kobe. Who's stopping this team?
Wait till we add Rui Hachimura to it.
Let's get to the rest of the NBA dealings from last night. Dalton Connect falling, big surprise.
Yeah.
Comments from a former NBA player about who went number one.
That was great.
What do we make? Opening round of the draft? How do we feel about it? We'll dive into some of those thoughts coming up next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Spray crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time is brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. I just spilled coffee all over my headphones, so, you know, things are going great. Things are just...
Well, the Marc Gasol comp
going
really
wonderful.
Just
it got me too excited. Yeah. I started shaking about Marc Gasol being a Blazer, and so I'm going to clean and host a radio segment because I'm a multitasker.
My God,
what we do.
Could you imagine if he became Marc Gasol? That would be unbelievable.
That would be a hell of a pick, Bob. That would be a hell of a pick. Let's get to the rest of the first round. We haven't talked about anybody else yet. A player that we mentioned yesterday... Who won?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit with the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Be ready for your next afternoon vacation with Beak Breaker Tropical. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
Hi, Daily Ticker time here on a Thursday, brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Visit pelicanbrewing.com for more details on locations, events, award-winning beers, independently brewed since 1996. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach. The Blazers were busy yesterday making a trade and landing Donovan Klingon with the 7th overall pick. Joining us now to talk about all of that and his thoughts on how they did on NBA draft night is Tyler Metcalf of the No Ceilings podcast, No Ceilings NBA on Twitter. At TMetcalf11 is where you can find him. Tyler, good morning to you, man. Thanks for the time in Portland. You know, a lot of these mocks kept having Klingon potentially fall to 7 with, like, the disclaimer of, I don't think he'll be there, and Portland would be thrilled if he gets there. I imagine that they were thrilled. What was your take of them taking the UConn big man with the 7th overall pick?
I loved it. You kind of mentioned the mocks, and we were kind of guilty of that too, where it's like, all right, is he going to go 1? And if not 1, then could he possibly be there at 7? And it really felt like a reach because of how talented and how much upside there still is with him, where, hey, if he starts to fall, someone's surely got to trade up for him. But this really did feel like one of the best case scenarios for the with him falling 2-7 for them.
You talk about the ceiling for him. I'm kind of curious, even though you guys run with the label no ceilings, what is, when we think of Donovan, what is it offensively? We know defensively he's good and what he was. What is it for him offensively when you watch him play?
I think there's some very legitimate, like, Mark Gasol type of outcomes with him, where there's so much more passing to his game than he really has been able to unlock. We got flashes of it. In freshman season, we got a few more flashes of it with some of the really cool and creative actions that UConn ran this year. From his freshman to his sophomore year, his assist rate doubled while his turnover rate got cut in half. There's some really fascinating playmaking and versatility out of short roll, creating from the top of the key, from the elbow, that kind of stuff, where he just makes everyone around him better. And then he's also a fantastic screener. And every scout and exec that I had asked about this, they all think he's going to shoot it in some form or fashion. Not necessarily at, like, a Kristaps Porzingis, like Karl-Anthony Towns prolific rate, but enough where he can, you know, hit a trail three or pick and pop type of stuff. It's a couple of game that kind of forces the defense to respect it a little more.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's music to the ears of Blazer fans, especially opening up the paint a little bit for Scoot. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the offensive upside and the defensive prowess that we know he brings. What are the big question marks? Is it injuries? Is it, you know, the minutes he played at UConn? If you're circling, like, hey, this is a concern or that's a concern, what is it about Klingon that makes you wonder about his fit in the NBA?
Yeah, health is definitely the first big one. It's always a little concerning when 7'2", 280-pound guys have multiple foot injuries in the same season. Apparently, they were unrelated and just unfortunate kind of fluke things early in the season. And we saw that once he got healthy and really hit the ground running as the season progressed, there weren't any issues. And he lost a ton of weight, really transformed his body going back to high school, where as a freshman, he really leaned down. And then his sophomore year, he got substantially stronger. With how available all of the medicals and stuff were for teams this year, I really start to become a lot less worried about potential health issues, because if there was something really glaring or really concerning with him, it would have come out in some form, and I don't think he necessarily would have been there at would have been the seventh overall pick, let alone being in conversation for the first overall pick. So it's the big thing at this point is just conditioning and how many minutes can he play. I think with Portland, it's really kind of easy to ease him into that and not overstress his body, because he's probably going to be the backup center while Ayton continues to start. So that alone kind of limits the workload and allows him to ease into the NBA context and workload a little more comfortably.
Why do you think Dalton Connect fell all the way to the Lakers? There were some stunning things, I think, that happened yesterday. I audibly gasped when I saw Detroit took Ron Holland at 5. I think he was 50-1 on Vegas Sports at 5. Why did Dalton Connect fall all the way to 17 to the Lakers?
No clue. Honestly, no clue. It makes zero sense. You mentioned the Pistons at 5, and it's like, all right, this might be a little bit of a reach, but it makes sense. He fills everything that they need. And basically from 5 on is like, oh, surely this could be Connect. Surely this could be. And we just kind of kept going. And the Lakers got incredibly lucky. Yes, he's older. Yes, the defense isn't there. But this was arguably the best scorer in the entire country who regularly dropped 30-plus points a game again in SEC competition. He was everything for that Tennessee offense. If you took him off that Tennessee team, they might have had one of the worst offenses in the country. And instead, they were one of the best teams in the country for most of the year. So the defense is bad, but when he's not asked to create everything on offense, I think he has the size and the where he can at least be on that end. And then when you put him in a more of that off-ball scoring role, he can be that second side creator, and playing off of guys like LeBron and AD, he's going to get a ton of really fascinating looks. So I think they struck gold at 17.
Interesting. We're talking with Tyler Metcalf of No Ceilings, the No Ceilings podcast, at No Ceilings NBA, at TMetcalf11 on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there. I'm watching the first round last night, and I don't recognize half the damn names. I read them in mocks, but I'm like, I've never seen this guy play, never heard of this guy. Who the hell is this guy? So I imagine today will be no different. You know what you're talking about. The Blazers have a pretty early pick in the second round. I think they have two of the first, you know, 10 or whatever. Any names, anybody that's still left that you're looking of, like, how did that guy fall or that guy makes sense? What are we looking at here in the second round today?
Yeah, and just kind of in the vacuum, Tyler Kolek, point guard from Marquette, was a really kind of surprising fall. His name was even getting mentioned with Miami up at 15, and a lot of intel was pointing to Phoenix at 22, so him falling out of the first entirely was kind of surprising. Kyle Filipowski from Duke, kind of toolsy, power forward center, projects to shoot it, really physical, really good rebounder. Another name kind of surprising that he fell out. And then Johnny Furphy from Kansas is a really fascinating kind of long-term play, ton of upside, 6'9 wing, had an incredible shooting month in January and February, and just kind of took over that Kansas offense once Kevin McCullough got hurt. Furphy became like the only perimeter scoring option, so defenses loaded up on him and the numbers kind of fell off. So his rebounding, the shooting upside, the physical tools, he's really, really exciting going forward. Might take some time, needs to get a lot stronger, but I think he's one of the better kind of long-term plays and home run swings in the early second round.
What did you make of the Blazers trade with the Wizards? Nobody out here watches Wizards basketball. They were god-awful. Denny Avdija had a pretty nice season for himself. They traded Malcolm, the first at 14, the first in 2029, 2 seconds. What is your observations of Denny Avdija, the player, and what he's been so far in his career? What did you think of the trade when you saw it come through?
I love the trade for a couple of reasons. First, the Blazers kind of kept getting mocked, these high upside but really raw wings at 14. And I think they're getting a guy who's just kind of ready to contribute to winning basketball right away in Denny instead. So I don't think they necessarily would have been able to grab someone of Denny's caliber at 14 regardless. And at the start of Denny's career is kind of a frustrating development because he was used as just a spot-up shooter, but he was always just a iffy shooter at best. And this last year, they put the ball in his hands a little more, allowed him to get out in transition, create for others, be a secondary, tertiary creator. And he just took a massive, massive leap. They were so much better with him on the floor than off. He became one of the better perimeter wing defenders in the league this year. I think this is a really, really good move. And then just you look at the contract alone, he's only making $15 million this year, and he's on the books for another 4 years, and it's a descending contract. So by the time that this contract is up, he'll only be making $11 million. From the basketball side, from the cap side, I thought it was a really, really smart move by the Blazers.
So not an overpay?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, great stuff. Tyler Metcalf, go give him a follow on Twitter, at TMetcalf11, the No Ceilings podcast, at No Ceilings NBA. Thanks so much for the time. I know you guys are busier than hell with the first round, second round, so we really appreciate the breakdown here in Portland, and hopefully we can catch up again soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. There you go. Good stuff. Tyler Metcalf. No overpay for him. Loves the move. And thinks Portland's doing jumping jacks because Donovan Klingon fell all the way to number 7. Big fan of the pick.
We got Marcus Gasol.
We got baby. We're teaming baby Kobe and Marcus Gasol now.
I mean, come on.
What's Scoot? We need a comp for Scoot, though. What's our Scoot comp?
Black Stockton?
I love it. I mean,
come on, pick and pop, baby.
Black Stockton, Marcus Gasol, baby Kobe. Who's stopping this team?
Wait till we add Rui Hachimura to it.
Let's get to the rest of the NBA dealings from last night. Dalton Connect falling, big surprise.
Yeah.
Comments from a former NBA player about who went number one.
That was great.
What do we make? Opening round of the draft? How do we feel about it? We'll dive into some of those thoughts coming up next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time is brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. I just spilled coffee all over my headphones, so, you know, things are going great. Things are just...
Well, the Marcus Gasol comp
going
really
going wonderful.
Just
it got me too excited. Yeah. I started shaking about Marcus Gasol being a Blazer, and so I'm going to clean and host a radio segment because I'm a multitasker.
My God,
what we do.
Could you imagine if he became Marcus Gasol? That would be unbelievable.
That would be a hell of a pick, Bob. That would be a hell of a pick. Let's get to the rest of the first round. We haven't talked about anybody else yet. A player that we mentioned yesterday... who won College Basketball Player of the Year.
Not
Zach Edey. We're not talking about Zach Edey here.
Oh.
Frank Mason, because we got on a conversation about Zach Edey, and that led to Frank Mason was at one point the Basketball Player of the Year.
We had forgotten about Frank Mason.
I had completely forgotten about Frank Mason, and we couldn't tell you what college he played for, and then we had to look it up. He is currently playing overseas, and I believe was in the same league as Zachary Risager. The number one overall pick in the draft?
Apparently he was, yeah.
And he was asked about Risager being the number one pick in the NBA draft, and he basically responded with, that guy's the number one pick? Okay.
Said he played him last year, and he's like, there's no way that guy's the number one pick. Really?
So that kind of tells you about the draft and how people were feeling about it. What were the biggest... What teams are we making fun of? What teams do we think had a good night? How do we feel about night one of the NBA draft?
I mean, this is no different than the NFL, is it? We all have opinions on these prospects.
I want your takes. Give me your takes. Hot takes. Who are we making fun of?
The Risager one is a hell of a swing because people that watched him play note several times when they watched him,
guy wasn't that good.
Didn't do a whole lot. A lot of untapped potential, but you kind of get it with the height, right, and what his kind of skill set is. I just think if we would have been in Atlanta radio show yesterday, we would have been debating, do they go Risager or do they go Alex Saar, who didn't want to work out and be here?
He didn't even show up and work out for him.
I'm taking him.
Even though he didn't show up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephon Castle wants to only be on a team without a point guard. If I like him enough, I'll take him. He's Josh Hart, maybe.
Yeah, you don't get to dictate where you go.
Yeah, and then also, like, what if we build around you and suddenly change the way you feel about us? It feels like they kind of got scared off by Saar. And said, we'll take the upswing. I just think Atlanta's a weird team. I think the whole mental, or not the mental, the makeup of the roster, what are they doing with Trey? What are they doing with DeJounte?
Yeah, maybe trading them both.
I thought Quinn Snyder was going to be a great hire, and he might still be, but I don't know. I don't understand the team building part of their situation. Detroit, wow. 50-1 Ron Holland to be a top five pick yesterday.
Yeah, he was getting mocked anywhere from most of them I looked at, kind of back end top 10 potentially, and then mainly in that like 10 to 14, 15 range.
There were mocks where people were like, is he going to fall out of, out of the lottery? And Detroit just said, we'll fix his shooting, can't shoot a lick. I've heard comps to him of Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Yes. I don't know how that makes you feel, but I remember that jump shot.
It's not making you feel
but
good.
But we'll see. Some people think the shooting coach in Detroit is going to fix everything. And then I think naturally, you know, I think you could put us in this. People around the country that are talking about the NBA draft, I think Portland's going to come up. Like, what are they doing there? They got Dwop. They got Rob Williams coming back. DeAndre's still starting. And they took a center.
Mm-hmm.
I think we maybe kind of have a better feel of our own situation of Rob Williams can't stay healthy.
No.
Like you, Dwop, but okay, you're not for long.
No.
And DeAndre's not the future.
Duop's a great 4-5 tweener guy off the bench, energy guy, can block shots.
Plays like 9 minutes, you great. Know?
That's what, yeah, that's yeah. his
fantastic.
Role.
15 minutes a
the
game.
The kind of guy we love you. In this city yes. and pretend as if he's
protects,
an all
protects whoever your starter is from having to play extended minutes and getting into foul trouble, that sort of thing. Yeah.
I didn't really understand the Dalton dropping thing. Maybe that's just age. And if that's it, then okay.
He I mean, talk about a fit, spot. Though. Like a yeah. place where they're not looking to develop a guy. They're looking to try and win now. And you need shooting and floor spacing around LeBron and Anthony Davis. That he could not have asked for a better fit.
I can't believe how lucky they got. Like
they get nice things in L.A.
They do.
They tend like, to get nice. They get the country club boys.
Couldn't have screwed that up. Just fell in your lap.
You really liked him then. I didn't know you liked him that much.
I did.
Loved him.
I like make that one. It has age has to be the only it's argument, the right? That's
it's
the
age.
Only thing.
Which
it
I just
age.
I don't.
But he's 23. Like we don't know how any of these guys are going to
exactly.
be at 23.
You're only going to get a 4-year deal with a 5th-year option.
Yeah.
This is the NFL thing.
When you got to right. decide if
Bo and Penix too yes. old, don't want to draft him.
Yes, it's all this is.
Stop it.
Well, I did hear Rosillo say if you actually look at the history of the older player. It's like kind of the Wesley Johnson from Syracuse. It's not a great track record, but I don't operate in that sphere. I operate player
well,
to
also,
player.
Also, the current game is if you can shoot, you can play.
He
till...
shot almost 40%.
I know.
Yeah, and I think his uncontested three numbers were insane, too. Like, when he wasn't guarded, his three-point numbers were almost 50% on the year.
It's going to be a very odd thing to watch.
Like,
Austin
he's
Reeves.
Going to be, like, yeah. if LeBron and AD stay there and play most of this year... They're not, you know, don't get injured or don't have to take every other game off. They're going to say, you leak out. We are throwing it ahead to you on the break and fire away.
I learned
that's what they're going to do.
Devin Carter out of Providence, who fired up a lot of mocks at the kind of last month of this thing. I didn't know his dad was Anthony Carter.
I didn't either. I also know that he needs a haircut. Losing it a little bit of. I as a fellow going
it's
bald
fading.
Man.
It's would, fading.
Like, just give up, buddy. Give up.
Him
what are
and,
we doing
there? Him and Derek Lively. Yeah. Derek Lively's got long afro, but that thing ain't starting until the middle of his head.
What are we doing?
And then Edie. I mean, we
yeah, what do the Edie bros make? The Edie bros, you like the fit in Memphis? You guys are big on Edie. You like that fit?
I think Memphis is very torn on this.
Jaren Jackson and him at your 4 and your 5.
Oh, I think that can work.
That can work. Yeah. Jaw throwing him lobs. I mean, the anti-Edie take in Memphis was that they wanted somebody who was a high flyer, a guy who is Ja Morant's going to drive
I think
and lob it up.
What they need more than anything else is some consistent three-point shooting.
I mean, they need Ja Morant to not get in trouble and play and stay healthy. That's what they need.
Hey, there's the bingo right there. Ja Morant plays, they're a better team.
That will help
I don't
and make
know.
Edie look
I,
better.
I was surprised. I mean...
Doesn't he fit the makeup of them, though?
He does, but...
Is he a grit and grinder? We feel like Edie's a grit and grinder?
Yeah.
He's the ultimate grit and grinder.
He is.
He's the ultimate grit.
You're damn right. Come out like the ultimate warrior, but the grit and grinder.
You didn't need to use the number 9 pick. Could you not have backed down?
They wanted a big. And look, what did yesterday tell you guys? Because this is what it told me. Not the draft to move. Not giving you much to move in a draft.
No, I'm not moving up in that draft.
Memphis wanted Klingon. Yeah. And Charlotte said, hey, we're open. And they said, not for that price.
Yeah, no.
And so Charlotte's like, let's take the swing on the 6'10 raw guy. Like, it's not highly thought of as a draft. We don't know if we're going to get Marc Gasol or if this dude's going to be not the center of our future. The draft was the draft. And it was exactly the kind of draft we thought it'd be. A little unpredictable. Not a high end, like, hey, I want to trade up. And I'm not going to criticize actually Memphis. They wanted a center. They went and got one. He's 7'5".
Yep. Big thing now for the Blazers is is there somebody at 34? They picked fourth today.
They do.
That can actually make the rotation.
Well, they traded Malcolm, but they added Denny. They have to make more moves for these guys to fit on their roster. And I know you can do some two-way stuff with those guys in the G League.
Second-round picks and stuff, yeah.
But I just think yesterday highlighted not only the way they're team building, but I think if Jeremy Grant is imminent, personally, that's just my read on it. I'm not reporting anything. And maybe the Ant trade is possible. Maybe a team will step up. I
get some future draft capital and just keep loading up in that category, maybe.
Probably would have hated anything San Antonio did because Wimby's that good. But, man, Castle. I mean, if Josh Hart as a point guard is a thing and he becomes that, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah. Well, it was an interesting night. I watched a good chunk of it kind of about halfway through the first round. I started doing some other stuff and kind of fading into the background. But
which broadcast did you watch?
Ended up watching the ABC one.
With
even
Malika?
No, that was the one with Stephen A. Smith and Bob Myers. But I did.
Yeah, Malika was on ESPN. I watched the ESPN one.
That's what I watched.
I think it's so stupid having people come on and announcing the pick before the pick.
Well, Woj got pissed at Shams is what happened because he wasn't ruining the draft, and then he found out Shams was, and then he started.
I was watching ESPN, and then all of a sudden I'm like, dude, stop giving me the. I know who's likely going to go here, but I'm not on social media during the draft. I don't care what everybody's saying. I just want to sit there and enjoy the show, and I don't want to know the answer before it even gets there.
My wife doesn't know who Stephen A. is, and he was screaming about the Lakers pick. So you gotta take down, get a shooter. And my wife in the background was just like, shut up. Shut
this guy is so
up.
Annoying.
And then nothing summed him up being on draft coverage, which I know you pay him a lot, but really, the Knicks pick. They drafted a French guy that I don't know, and he's making this face. And I think it was, who was with him? Was it Dari?
Dari was the host, and Bob Myers was there.
Hear me out, hold on. Like, having Stephen A. be on the draft, but not even knowing who his own team is taking, chef's kiss of just, of course.
$18 million a year, Bob, $18 million a year. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We're going to go to D.C. coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll get the thoughts on the trade from their perspective, and how do they feel? How are Wizards fans feeling today? Let's start the final hour, though, with our good buddy Ken Barkley, who cashed a big ticket. How does he feel about futures for Rookie of the Year in the NBA? How's Ken Barkley doing? We start with the final hour with him next on 1080 The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time is brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. I just spilled coffee all over my headphones, so, things are going great. Things are just...
Well, the Marc Gasol comp
going
really
going wonderful.
Just
it got me too excited. Little, I started shaking about Marc Gasol being a Blazer, and so I'm going to clean and host a radio segment because I'm a multitasker.
My God,
what we do.
Could you imagine if he became Marc Gasol? That would be unbelievable.
That would be a hell of a pick, Bob. That would be a hell of a pick. Let's get to the rest of the first round. We haven't talked about anybody else yet. A player that we mentioned yesterday... who won College Basketball Player of the Year.
Not
Zach Edey. We're not talking about Zach Edey here. Frank Mason, because we got on a conversation about Zach Edey, and that led to Frank Mason was at one point the Basketball Player of the Year.
We had forgotten about Frank Mason.
I had completely forgotten about Frank Mason, and we couldn't tell you what college he played for, and then we had to look it up. He is currently playing overseas, and I believe was in the same league as Zachary Risager. The number one overall pick in the draft?
Apparently he was,
And he was asked about Risager being the number one pick in the NBA draft, and he basically responded with, that guy's the number one pick? Okay.
So he played him last year, and he's like, there's no way that guy's the number one pick. Really?
So that kind of tells you about the draft and how people were feeling about it. What were the biggest... What teams are we making fun of? What teams do we think had a good night? How do we feel about night one of the NBA draft?
I mean, this is no different than the NFL, is it? We all have opinions on these prospects.
I want your takes. Give me your takes. Hot takes. Who are we making fun of?
The Risager one it's a hell of a swing because people that watched him play note several times when they watched him,
guy wasn't that good.
Didn't do a whole lot. A lot of untapped potential, but you kind of get it with the height, right, and what his kind of skill set is. I just think if we would have been in Atlanta radio show yesterday, we would have been debating, do they go Reese Hsieh or do they go Alex Saar, who didn't want to work out and be here?
He didn't even show up and work out for him.
I'm taking him.
Even though he didn't show up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephon Castle wants to only be on a team without a point guard. If I like him enough, I'll take him. He's Josh Hart, maybe.
Yeah, you don't get to dictate where you go.
Yeah, and then also, like, what if we build around you and suddenly change the way you feel about us? It feels like they kind of got scared off by Saar and said, we'll take the upswing. I just think Atlanta's a weird team. I think the whole mental, or not the mental, the makeup of the roster, what are they doing with Trey? What are they doing with DeJounte?
Yeah, maybe trading them both.
I thought Quinn Snyder was going to be a great hire, and he might still be, but I don't know. I don't understand the team building part of their situation. Detroit, wow. 50-1, Ron Holland to be a top five pick yesterday.
Yeah, he was getting mocked anywhere from most of them I looked at, kind of back end top 10 potentially, and then mainly in that like 10 to 14, 15 range.
There were mocks where people were like, is he going to fall out of the lottery? And Detroit just said, we'll fix his shooting. Can't shoot a lick. I've heard comps to him of Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah,
I don't know how that makes you feel, but I remember that jump shot.
It's not making you feel
but
good.
But we'll see. Some people think the shooting coach in Detroit is going to fix everything. And then I think naturally, you know, I think you could put us in this. People around the country that are talking about the NBA draft, I think Portland's going to come up. Like, what are they doing there? They got Dwop. They got Rob Williams coming back. DeAndre's still starting. And they took a center.
Mm-hmm.
I think we maybe kind of have a better feel of our own situation of Rob Williams can't stay healthy.
No.
Like Yedwop, but okay, you're not for long.
No.
And DeAndre's not the future.
Duop's a great 4-5 tweener guy off the bench, energy guy, can block shots.
Plays like 9 minutes, you
great.
Know?
That's what, yeah, that's
yeah.
his
fantastic.
Role.
Fantastic, 15 minutes a
the
game.
The kind of guy we you. Love in this city yes. and pretend as if he's
protects,
an all-star.
Protects whoever your starter is from having to play extended minutes and getting into foul trouble, that sort of thing. Yeah.
I didn't really understand the Dalton dropping thing. Maybe that's just age. And if that's it, then okay.
He I mean, talk about a fit, spot. Though. Like a yeah. place where they're not looking to develop a guy. They're looking to try and win now. And you need shooting and floor spacing around LeBron and Anthony Davis. That he could not have asked for a better fit.
I can't believe how lucky they got. Like
they get nice things in L.A.
They do.
They tend to get nice. They get the country club boys.
Couldn't have screwed that up. Just fell in your lap.
You really liked him then. I didn't know you liked him that much.
I did.
Loved him.
Make that one. It has age has to be the only
it's
argument,
the
right?
It's
That's
age.
The only thing.
Which
it
I just I don't.
But he's 23. Like we don't know how any of these guys are going to
exactly.
be at 23.
You're only going to get a 4-year deal with a 5th-year option.
Yeah.
This is the NFL thing.
When you got to right. decide if
Bo and Penix too yes. old, don't want to draft him.
Yes, it's all this is.
Stop it.
Well, I did hear Russillo say if you actually look at the history of the older player. It's like kind of the Wesley Johnson from Syracuse. It's not a great track record, but I don't operate in that sphere. I operate player
well,
to player.
Also, the yeah. current game is if you can shoot, you can play.
He
till...
shot almost 40%.
I know.
Yeah, and I think his uncontested three numbers were insane, too. Like, when he wasn't guarded, his three-point numbers were almost 50% on the year.
It's going to be a very odd thing to watch.
Like,
Austin
he's
Reeves.
Going to be, like, yeah. if LeBron and AD stay there and play most of this year... They're not, you know, don't get injured or don't have to take every other game off. They're going to say, you leak out. We are throwing it ahead to you on the break and fire away.
I learned
that's that what they're going to do.
Devin Carter out of Providence, who fired up a lot of mocks at the kind of last month of this thing. I didn't know his dad was Anthony Carter.
I didn't either. I also know that he needs a haircut. Losing it a little bit of. I as a fellow going
it's
bald
fading.
Man.
It's would, fading.
Like, just give up, buddy. Give up.
Him
what are
and,
we doing there?
Him and Derek Lively.
Yeah.
Derek Lively's got long afro, but that thing ain't
yeah,
starting until
yeah,
the middle of his head.
Yeah, what are we doing?
And then Edie. I mean, I we
yeah,
played
what do the Edie bros make? The Edie bros, you like the fit in Memphis? You guys are big on Edie. You like that fit?
I think Memphis is very torn on this.
Jaren Jackson and him at your 4 and your 5.
Oh, I think that can work.
That can work.
Yeah.
Jaw throwing him lobs. I mean,
we'll see.
Anti-Edie take in Memphis was that they wanted somebody who was a high flyer, a guy who is Ja Morant's going to drive
I think
and lob it up.
They need more than anything else is some consistent 3-point shooting.
I mean, they need Ja Morant to not get in trouble and play and stay healthy. That's what they need.
Hey, there's the bingo right there. John Morant plays, they're a better team.
That will help. I don't know. Edie look better.
I was surprised. I mean,
doesn't he fit the makeup of them though?
He does, but
is he a grit and grinder? We feel like Edie's a grit and grinder.
Yeah,
he's the ultimate grit and grinder.
He is.
He's the but
you're damn right, come out like the ultimate warrior, but the grit and grinder.
You didn't need to use the number nine pick. Could you not have backed down?
They wanted a big. And look, what did yesterday tell you guys? Because this is what it told me. Not the draft to move. Not giving you much to move in a draft.
No, I'm not moving up in that draft.
Memphis wanted Klingon. Yeah. And Charlotte said, hey, we're open. And they said, not for that price.
Yeah, no.
And so Charlotte's like, let's take the swing on the 6'10 raw guy. Like, it's not highly thought of as a draft. We don't know if we're going to get Marc Gasol or if this dude's going to be not the center of our future. The draft was the draft, and it was exactly the kind of draft we thought it'd be, a little unpredictable, not a high-end, like, hey, I want to trade up. And I'm not going to criticize, actually, Memphis. They wanted a center. They went and got one. He's 7'5".
Big thing now for the Blazers is, is there somebody at 34? They pick fourth today.
They do?
That can actually make the rotation.
Well, they traded Malcolm, but they added Denny. They have to make more moves for these guys to fit on their roster. And I know you can do some two-way stuff with those guys in the G League.
With second-round picks and stuff, yeah.
But I just think yesterday highlighted not only the way they're team-building, but I think a Jeremy Grant is imminent, personally. That's just my read on it. I'm not reporting anything. And maybe the Ant trade is possible. Maybe a team will step up. I
get some future draft capital and just keep loading up in that category, maybe.
Probably would have hated anything San Antonio did because Wimby's that good. But, man, Castle. I mean, if Josh Hart as a point guard is a thing and he becomes that, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah. Well, it was an interesting night. I watched a good chunk of it, kind of about halfway through the first round. I started doing some other stuff and kind of fading into the background. But
which broadcast did you watch?
Ended up watching the ABC one.
With
even
Malika?
No, that was the one with Stephen A. Smith and Bob Myers. But I did.
Yeah, Malika was on ESPN. I watched the ESPN one.
That's what I watched.
I think it's so stupid having people come on and announcing the pick before the pick.
Well, Woj got pissed at Shams is what happened because he wasn't ruining the draft, and then he found out Shams was, and then he started
I was
doing
watching
it.
ESPN, and then all of a sudden I'm like, dude, stop giving me I know who's likely going to go here, but I'm not on social media during the draft. I don't care what everybody's saying. I just want to sit there and enjoy the show, and I don't want to know the answer before it even gets there.
My wife doesn't know who Stephen A. is, and he was screaming about the Lakers pick. You gotta take down, get a shooter. And my wife in the background was just like, shut up. Shut
this guy is so
up.
Annoying.
And then nothing summed him up being on draft coverage, which I know you pay him a lot, but really, the Knicks pick. They drafted a French guy that I don't know, and he's making this face. And I think it was, who was with him? Was it Dari?
Dari was the host, and Bob Myers was there.
Hear me out, hold on. Like, having Stephen A. be on the draft, but not even knowing who his own team is taking, chef's kiss of just, of course.
$18 million a year, Bob, $18 million a year. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We're going to go to D.C. coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll get the thoughts on the trade from their perspective, and how do they feel? How are Wizards fans feeling today? Let's start the final hour, though, with our good buddy Ken Barkley, who cashed a big ticket. How does he feel about futures for Rookie of the Year in the NBA? How's Ken Barkley doing? We start with the final hour with him next on 1080 The Fam.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.